May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 4. Keep silence, all created things, and wait your Maker's nod. My soul stands trembling while she sings the honours of her God. Hymn number 4.
Thank you. We will read from the Holy Word of God. Firstly, part of Exodus chapter 12, and then part of Ezekiel chapter 40. Exodus chapter 12, the first 20 verses. Exodus 12, commencing at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbour next unto him take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire, and thus ye shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. Ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even ye shall eat unleavened bread, until the 21st day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened, in all your habitation shall ye eat unleavened bread. I will turn to the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 40. And we'll read the first 5 verses concerning the vision Ezekiel had in Babylonian captivity of the new city of Jerusalem and the new temple that should be built. Ezekiel chapter 40 and verse 1. In the 25th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after the city was smitten, in the selfsame day the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me thither. In the visions of God brought he me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain, by which was as the frame of a city on the south. And he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, with a line of flax in his hand and a measuring reed. And he stood in the gate. And the man said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and set thine heart upon all that I shall show thee. For to the intent that I might show them unto thee, art thou brought hither. Declare all that thou seest to the house of Israel. And behold, a wall on the outside of the house round about, and in the man's hand a measuring reed of 6 cubits long, by the cubit and a handbreadth. So he measured the breadth of the building, 1 reed, and the height, 1 reed. May the Lord now help us in prayer. O Lord, Almighty and most gracious God, we do pray that thou wouldst give us that true spirit of worship, to bow before thee, to honour thee. O Lord, do give us that understanding and sense that we are in thy presence, O Lord. So especially in the place and time appointed for worship of thy holy name. But O Lord, may we not be forgetful of thy majesty, thy glory, thine all-seeing eye, thy good hand, thy righteousness, when we are not in this house. O Lord, do grant us that solemn understanding, yet blessed understanding, that thou art God in heaven. Thou art the sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise. Thou art our creator. And, O Lord, do grant that we may not be forgetful of these things. O Lord, we do pray now as we are gathered in thy house to worship thee, that we may do so in spirit, in the spirit, with the heart, not just with the lip. O Lord, that we may not be found offering the sacrifice of fools, but, O Lord, that we may come rightly pleading the name of Jesus, thine only begotten Son, that we may know the power of his sacrifice, the Lamb of God, that which fulfilled the type and symbol figure of the Passover Lamb, that we may know the power of thy shed blood to forgive us from our sins, to cleanse us. And, O Lord, that we may know thereby thy glorious love. Thou who hast loved us and washed us in thy precious blood. O Lord, we do pray for thy help, to take away those distracting thoughts, those vile, evil thoughts. Do deliver us from worldly reasonings. But, O Lord, that we may receive thy word, thy teaching, with an honest heart, a single heart. O Lord, have mercy, we pray. O Lord, we are evil. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it, says thy word, and it is true. And, O Lord, we have to be brought to know it. Indeed, those of us who have been in the way of salvation for many years feel it more and more, the deceitfulness of our wicked heart. But, O Lord, thou art above all things. O Lord, do renew a right spirit within us, create in us a clean heart, that our hearts may singly follow thee, worship thee, love thee, and that we may give honour and glory in our lives. O Lord, we do pray for thy help as we gather here, and for this church and congregation here, and those of the friends who are visiting. O Lord, we do pray for thy mercy and grace to be upon them, and our friends, the deacons here, and their responsibility. O Lord, we do pray for each one here, and we would rejoice that another has been added unto the church here. And, O Lord, our friend who was baptized yesterday, do bless her and strengthen her in the way. O Lord, do grant her thy precious favour. And, O Lord, we do thank thee that thou hast seen fit to grant a favour upon the church here again. And, O Lord, we would pray that there may be others brought in from this neighbourhood, others brought to cry unto thee for mercy and to find mercy. And, O Lord, we do pray that as we come to a new year, that it may there yet be further openings of the pool of baptism here and elsewhere, that it may be known that thou art moving in the midst by the Spirit in the hearts and the lives of those here, to bring from darkness unto light, to the service of idols and the pleasures and the sins of this world, to that heartfelt spiritual service of thee. O Lord, we do pray in thy precious name, O Lord Jesus, do send down the Spirit, we pray, that there may be those changes for the better in many lives, and there may be an abundant blessing in the churches. O Lord, we would pray for the young people and the children and the babes. We thank thee that thou art granting that this place has so many young people and the babes granted. We do pray for thy blessing upon them and those that are with child, that thou mightest be pleased to spare them and spare life and give life. And, O Lord, we would pray for the children and the babes, that thou wouldst be pleased to guide them, teach them, preserve them. And the young people in our midst, O Lord, do direct them and guide them in a day of much evil, much temptation, a day when worldly ambition is put forth as that which we should be doing. But, O Lord, may our ambition be higher than this world, looking unto one who is the creator of the world, unto the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. May that be our great desire, to serve him as we ought. And we who are older, do keep us, we who are parents, to give us that wisdom to bring up our children rightly in thy sight, in the nurture and admonition of thy holy name, that we may give them that right example in conversation and in our deeds and in our prayers, our reading of the Bible. O Lord, may we be given that grace and patience. And O Lord, those in older years, oh, we do pray for thy strength to be given unto them. And O Lord, we do pray for any that are unable to come to thy house, those in this congregation, those who are unwell or are infirm, O Lord, we do pray for thy favour to be upon them, thy mercy to be upon them, and any that are caring for them. And O Lord, those who could be here. And O Lord, thou knowest every heart. Thou knowest those who the love of other things coming in have chosen not to be here, not to come to thy house. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst look in mercy upon their souls to bring them to repentance. And we do pray that there may be those in this village that are brought in to seek to hear the word, to seek thee in spirit and in truth. And O Lord, we do pray for mercy upon our land. Thou hast sent those floods. Thou didst send the drought. Then thou didst send the floods. And O Lord, the wickedness of the nation, the wickedness of those in authority, their wicked plans for legislation to overturn that which was thine ordinance, thy creation. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst raise up those in authority that may rightly rule over us, to give thee the honour and the glory. O Lord, we do pray for thy mercy to be upon our Queen and royal family. And O Lord, we do pray that there may be that granting of revival once more in our nation. New life. That consciousness that there is a God in heaven. That understanding that we have thy holy word in the Bible. That there is a judgment to come. That there is a precious Saviour, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And O Lord, we pray that the word of truth may go forth with power as thy servants, ministers of the gospel, preach wherever they are preaching this day in this land and throughout this world. It may go forth with power. That power to change by thy grace lives. That power to deliver into from darkness into light. From that burden over sins to that glorious liberty of the gospel. And that joy and peace and believing. O Lord, we would praise thee that we have such glorious blessings set before us through thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that are eternal. Not just the pleasures of sin for a season. Indeed, what a short season it is. And what bitter fruit there is that comes from sin. Oh, do open our eyes to see. And, O Lord, if there are any here that are in that way of seeking to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, O Lord, do deliver them from it, we pray, that they may rather fall at thy feet and see that the reproach of Christ is greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. All that this world can offer is but as nothing compared to salvation in Christ Jesus. And the eternal love of God. O Lord, grant eyes may be opened, hearts broken, that new birth granted, new life, a new cry unto thee. And O Lord, then we do pray for thy favour upon us as we hope to gather in the Sunday school this afternoon. And thou wouldst grant thy blessing in the teaching of the children and in the that they may learn of thee. And O Lord, do grant us thy help now as we come to thy word, that we may speak that which is profitable. And O Lord, as we come to the close of this year, O Lord, how thou hast been gracious and merciful. We are unworthy, but thou art worthy, worthy as the lamb that was slain. O Lord Jesus Christ, thou art worthy to receive honour and praise. And O Lord, we do pray that we may consider these things rightly, And, O Lord, that thou would favour us now as we come to thy word, do grant me that help in speaking, the brethren in hearing, and that we may not just be hearers or speakers only, but doers also of thy word to thine honour and glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 191. Oh, why did Jesus show to me the beauties of his face? Why to my soul did he convey the blessings of his grace? Hymn 191.
May the Lord help us in turning to his holy word, that we may be given ears to hear what the Spirit of God, saith unto the churches, to us. I would seek to bring before you particularly Exodus chapter 12 and verse 2. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. As we approach, if spared, the new year, this has been much upon my own spirit concerning the ending of one year and the beginning of another. We have many examples in Scripture where the children of Israel were to consider, to remember the way the Lord their God had brought them. And so may we, as we come to the end of another year, and if the Lord will, the end of a year, the beginning of a new year, let us consider. And I shall seek to take the significance of the new year in the Scriptures, that we may learn. We may take heed to the teaching of God, and by his grace we may put it into practice. For if we are only hearers of God's word, or only speakers of it, if we only sing hymns with the lip, but never follow Christ in spirit and in truth, we are hypocrites. We are yet in our sins. There can be no hope in a hypocritical following of Christ, in only speaking with the word, only hearing in the ear, but no receiving of the word of God in the heart, no repentance, no believing, no delighting in God's word and God's way. May the Lord grant us that renewing of the Spirit of God, that we may desire and delight in the things of God, the Word of God, the Son of God. We have in this part of Scripture, in Exodus, when the children of Israel were in Egyptian bondage, slavery. But as they were about to be delivered out of Egypt, here the Lord spake unto Moses and commanded that setting aside of a lamb, and then the killing of that lamb, and the preparation of the Passover feast. That was indeed to be observed by the Jews year after year. And that month was the beginning of months. It was to signify the first month in the year. As I shall explain later, the Jews had 2 years, a sacred and a civil. This was the first month in the sacred year. The Passover. And let us consider what these things signify. Egypt, the land of bondage. It signifies that bondage to sin and Satan. And every one of us either has been there or are there now. Even sat in this chapel, still in Egypt, still in bondage, bondage to sin and to Satan. The Lord knows if there be those that are sat here in Swavesey Strict Baptist Chapel but are yet spiritually in Egypt. But whether we are still there or whether we have been delivered from it, spiritual Egypt is very real. And it needed none other but the power of Almighty God and the shedding of blood that there may be that deliverance, the almighty power of God to deliver the Israelites from Egypt. And there was that lamb to be set aside. Sanctified. That's what the word sanctified means. To be set apart. On the 10th day, they shall take to them every man a lamb. The 14th day to be killed, to be slain. And then the partaking of the lamb. The blood was to be applied to the doorposts and the lintels of their houses. And that night, the destroying angel from God came upon the land of Egypt. But those who were sheltered under the blood were safe. A precious type or figure of Christ. And we as New Testament Gentile believers, we do not observe the Passover in that literal sense, for all these types and figures are fulfilled in Christ. But in the Old Testament church, through these types and figures and rituals and sacrifices, there was set forth the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who the Old Testament church looked forward to in faith. And here was the shedding of blood, the application of the blood. It must be applied to the doorposts and the lintel. And those who are sheltering under the blood, safe. The destroying angel did not touch that house. The question is, as we come to the close of 2012, are you sheltering under the blood of Christ? Are you spiritually partaking of the Passover lamb, feeding upon Christ, his teachings, his love, reading the word of God, praying unto God, seeking direction of God? Or are you still seeking the flesh pots of Egypt? All the things and the delights. Although there's still that bondage, those things in which we groan under, pains, tribulations, sicknesses, for which all mankind must be a partaker of as being under the curse of sin. But as we come to the end of this year, is it a concern to you as to where you are spiritually? If this coming year, well, we might not even reach the end of this year, we still have 2 days yet remaining, but if this coming year, 2013, was to be our last, if in 2013 there was to be our funeral, a gravestone erected in the local cemetery with our name upon it, your name or my name, are we sheltering under the blood of Christ? Well, there shall be a day when each one of us must surely die and then give an account before the judgment seat of God. And whose name shall we be sheltering? There is only one name, and that is the name of Jesus, the Lamb of God, to be sheltering under the blood. Under his righteousness and his righteous deeds. Those sacrifices that were to be offered under the Old Testament, they must be without spot or blemish, must be perfect. And so our Lord Jesus Christ so perfectly obeyed the law of God. And it is in union with him, trusting in him, looking unto him, hoping in him, believing in him, that we are made partakers. We partake of that righteousness and of his sacrifice on account of our sins with his shed blood. We shelter under that precious blood, so we believe by faith. The word faith means trust, looking to him, trusting in him, trusting in him, hoping in him, a good hope. And not just one who died, but one who rose again and is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. And so in this new year of the Old Testament, new year of the Israelites, there was that remembrance year by year through the Passover. And when that Passover came that night, the Egyptians, there was every one of the firstborn slain. But the Israelites were safe. But then on the coming day, there must be a going forth. That doorway that had the blood applied, there was safety, but they must also go through that door. There must be that walking forth out of Egypt. Truly, where there is the application of the blood of Christ in our consciences, a true believing on his holy name, we cannot no longer remain within Egypt. Children of Israel were called to go through the Red Sea. They were led by Christ, that fiery, cloudy pillar, which is Christ. They were led through the wilderness, led to Mount Sinai to see more fully the solemnity of the holiness and glory of God. And it led at last to the Promised Land, which is a type, a symbol of heaven. So if we have known the blood of Christ, we cannot no longer remain in Egypt. We must be pilgrims and strangers. There must be that guiding of God in all our steps, that looking unto Jesus. And our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Behold, I make all things new." Where there is the power of the shed blood to wash away sins, to cleanse the conscience, if there is that true power applied to your souls, our Lord said, "Behold, I make all things new." How shall it be in the new year with us, if spared? Are we just seeking to carry on as we always have done? To, with perhaps the exception of more pleasures, more leisures, more money, We live in a very materialistic age, and materialism has greatly afflicted the churches, afflicted us. If we but would have the honesty of heart to receive it, how have our souls been benefited by an excess of money? How has your soul been benefited by expensive clothing, a fast car, luxurious houses? Let us be honest with ourselves over these things. Is the blessing to our soul resting there? The Lord has been merciful to provide us with houses, clothing, food, families, a place to worship in. And many in this world have no such things. The one thing I've observed by travelling to Africa and India in the preaching of the gospel is how many I've met who have none of the material benefits that we have, yet are greatly blessed in Christ Jesus in a manner that one scarce sees here. Let us, as we come to the new year, consider in what, in whom are we putting our trust? Is our trust in the things of this world? In the gaining of money, the enjoying of pleasures and leisures, of lusts and vices even, ambition and careers, even earthly friendships can become an idol? Is our trust being put in Christ? Are we sheltering under the precious blood of the Redeemer? And are we going forth in the way of the true scriptural pilgrim, following Christ, looking for a better country, a heavenly one? Thus we have the Passover. We have the Feast of Unleavened Bread immediately afterwards. Leaven, more commonly called yeast, is used in bread, usually. Leavened bread. Unleavened bread is more like a biscuit. Doesn't rise at all. No yeast in it. In the scriptures, the Jews' leaven was to be put out of their houses following the Passover. They were not to eat it. They were not so much as to have it in their houses. Our Lord Jesus spoke of warned the disciples of the leaven of the Pharisees, those who had a form of religion but no true spiritual life in them. And leaven is a type of sin. And where there is the blood of Christ applied, there should no longer be that leaven within the house. Alas, we do find the leaven still in our hearts, and will be to the day that we die. Is that not the reason why every true believer seeks the heavenly country? Firstly, to be with Christ without any unclouded view, to be with the one whom he or she loves more than any other. And is it not to be free from the wicked heart, wicked old desires, the devil, the evil thoughts that rise up, that defile our meditations upon the Redeemer? But where there has been the shedding of the blood, there must be a putting away of that leaven. It was so with me. When the Lord called me by grace out to a form of religion as a choir boy in the Church of England, the public house had to go. The bottle of spirits in my room had to go. Thankfully, I never smoked, but that will have to go as well. if any here are afflicted by such a thing. The bad language had to go. Doing my work on the Lord's Day had to go. Many things had to be put out of the house, as it were. Serving one's own ambitions had to go. That was a very hard one to go, and many a year it took for that one to be put out, and indeed it's still there in the background. We have much need to pray against these things. Following our own career. Speak particularly to younger friends here. There may be advice as to what career you should take. And people may advise, say to you, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to earn lots of money in your career or do this or that? Well, that leaven must be put out of the house. It must be, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Will that be how much better it would be if the new year began with that? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? If the past year has been spent in what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed? How much more honouring to God if the new year began with this, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Behold, here am I to the Lord, waiting. Indeed, those who were partaking of the Passover, they were to do it prepared, with the shoes upon their feet, loins girded, that means with the long flowing garments that they had and still have in the Middle East. A girdle gathered together, tied around their waist, those long flowing garments that they were ready to go in haste, to run. They were to eat with haste. Ye shall eat it with haste, it is the Lord's Passover. Know that in the coming year there be that spiritual fervency and zeal, pressing forward to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, rather than a settling down. Settling down to a dead routine. Well, maybe others in the church and congregation are following Christ, but are you in a dead routine? When I was in the choir in the Church of England and in the school that I was in, spent many hours singing and was taught how so to do. And one of the phrases that applied to a choir as well as an orchestra was that of a passenger. And a passenger in the choir or an orchestra is somebody who appears to be, who's there, sat in the choir, appears to be singing, but actually they're not. Appears to be playing, but actually they're not. Just a passenger. Are there any passengers here? Appear to be professing Christ. Appear to be, well, we are all here in the chapel, in the house of God. And regularly here, or at another place of worship. But are we passengers? In that sense. But when comes the Lord with his glory, there shall be the separating of the sheep and the goats. Those who are truly the Lord's and those who are not. Thus ye shall eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it with haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Oh, that we had that sight by faith of what it cost our Lord in his sacrifice upon the cross, his dying love, his mercy. That we were like drawn at the foot of the cross. They shall look upon him whom they have pierced. But it's on account of our sins, our disobedience to the law of God, that Christ was crucified. Should we not rather haste from sin? Should we not rather haste in love to follow the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ? If the past year has been a year of repeated services, repeated attendance at the house of God, well, it is good that it should be so, but are we here in the body or in the spirit? Are we just going through a dead round of services without taking any heed to that which is before us? Is it a dead round of reading from God's word, taking no heed to that which we read? Or perhaps even understanding in one sense what it says, weighing up on the one hand all the things that I will lose by following God's word, the friendships that might have to be separated from, the entertainments, the leisures that may have to be put out of the house, as it were, the leaven that would have to be consigned to the dunghill, where it truly belongs. And on the other hand, looking at chapel and thinking what a dull place it is, what a dull thing it is, what a weariness is it. May the Lord give us that right sight, as only he can, by the Spirit, to see the preciousness in Christ, rather than just to look at the four walls of the chapel and the people in it and the minister and the hymn book, but rather to see Christ, whom we seek to worship, whom we seek to preach. That we should pray like those Greeks that came to Jesus, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." Are you afraid of praying because of the consequences that may come from praying such a prayer? Or may you rather be attracted unto Jesus, rather than fear such things, rather desire that the Lord should purge you, cleanse you. There should be a putting away of the leaven. There should be a following of the commandments of Christ to his honour and glory. And if we saw the eternal glory reserved for the true saints of God, every true believer, that's what a saint is. One who has been sanctified, made holy by the blood of Christ. If we saw the glory in Christ Jesus and the heavenly city, should that not, when we rightly weigh things, completely outweigh all the pleasures of sin for a season? Should we not pray, "Lord, take away the love of sinning"? That we should have that love and that seeking after the Lord. Well, one measure as to whether I was a feel a sermon has been a good sermon in that sense is whether there are those after the sermon that will go and find the closet or some secret place and pray earnestly over that which they've heard. That which is not seen by the minister and shouldn't be seen by the minister, but that which is seen by God. And that which is honouring to God, that which our Lord is well pleased in, for those that seek shall find. Those who seek him earnestly, with the whole heart, the Lord shall not turn away. For our Lord Jesus Christ is the friend of sinners, the friend of those who come seeking him. But let us move on to other instances in the Old Testament concerning the beginning of the year. We read, well, we'll come to that in a minute, but we also have at the end of the book of Exodus, a year later, the next year. And the children of Israel, they were at Mount Sinai. And Moses was commanded to make the tabernacle, which is a sense, a form of a tent, under which the Ark of the Covenant, that which symbolized Christ, where the mercy seat was, the altar, the candlestick. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, On the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony, and cover the ark with the veil. As we read at the end of the book of Exodus, when all was done that day, the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. There was that setting up of that earthly representation that all pointed to Christ. When all was done, the honour and the glory of God was made manifest, revealed with that cloud that filled the tabernacle. We also find that Joshua, when they came some 40 or more years later, it was this very time of year, the first month of the year, that they came into the promised land. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. Jordan signifies death, the river of death. Canaan, the promised land, heaven itself. There on that same day, the 10th day of the first month, the day in which the lamb of the Passover was set apart, there was the entering into the promised land. It was the 10th day of the first month that Ezekiel in captivity had that vision of Jerusalem. Jerusalem literally lay in ruins, being destroyed by the Babylonish army. Some nearly 600 years before Christ's birth. The temple destroyed, a remnant of Israel in captivity, the majority having died miserably under the judgment of God. And it was the 25th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the month of the year, in the 10th day of the month, the 14th year after that the city was smitten. And the selfsame day the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me thither. There the Lord brought Ezekiel to see a vision of the new city, the new temple, which spoke of two particular things. Firstly, that the Lord's people in captivity would return after the 70 years. The city would be rebuilt. The temple would be rebuilt, the one in which the Lord himself should come to. But it also speaks of that heavenly Jerusalem, which the Apostle John had that glorious vision on in the book of Revelation. And as we come to the new year, where are your sights set? Are you looking for a heavenly city? That which is eternal? That which is godly? That which shall endure forever? That which shall not fail you through whatever disappointment or grief or trouble or distress or sickness? Whatever temptation can come upon you, that city, that glorious city in heaven, reserved for every true believer. It is sure, if God be for us, who can be against us? It was that very day, the 10th day of the month, first month. There, Ezekiel was given that vision. In the vision, there was a promise of the prince coming in the midst of his people into the temple, Christ. There was that vision. In that vision, there was the water of life that flow from beneath the altar that gave life. Well, we also have on that same period, we have in the book of Chronicles, second book of Chronicles, concerning Hezekiah, concerning the purging of the temple. For those kings of Judah, before the Babylonish captivity, some of them had worshipped the Lord and others had worshipped devils, and set up those idols and uncleanness and vileness in the very house of God. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah, had done so. But Hezekiah was delivered from that worshipping of the devil to serve God and to seek God with his whole heart. It's not a matter of what our parents have done that will determine whether we have a good hope in Christ. It doesn't matter who our father, grandfather, brother, sister, or anybody else. There are many in the Word of God who had the most abominable parents, who are now in heaven, or even led the most abominable lives, but were saved by the grace of God through the blood of the Redeemer. And there are those who had very gracious, godly parents, who are now in hell. But when Hezekiah came to the throne, he sought to turn unto the Lord. And he began with the house of God. And the priests were sent there to cleanse it from the uncleanness in the house of God. They began on the first day of the first month to sanctify, just to remove the uncleanness, that the Lord may be honoured and glorified. How we have need of those things in matters of the church, the congregation, that we should seek that purity. We do not have, as we most evidently see, we do not have any idols, statues, golden candlesticks and the like here. There's no burning of incense and bowing down before idols and crosses and so on. But is there the uncleanness of pride? The uncleanness of an unforgiving spirit? The uncleanness of covetousness? The uncleanness of disobedience to God's word? Oh, as we come to the new year, may we seek that grace of God to put out those things that defile the house of God. And indeed, our own homes, are there those things that defile it? I have to say that I was brought up at home with the television and all the wickedness on it, and I delighted in it. When the Lord brought me to a saving knowledge of Christ, what a battle I had with that television set, and how I would detest it in my heart but be so drawn to it. What a battle there was within, and how I rejoiced when I could have my own home and there'd be no television set there. Things like that are a snare. As we come back to the Passover, the children of Israel were to have their loins girt about, shoes on their feet, staff in their hand, ready to go. And what a dead weight the television set is. Indeed, more modern inventions what a snare some of the other things can be. Although we may have to use the computer and the internet, what a snare that can be. The mobile phone, you younger friends. Is that the millstone round your neck? The snare to ensnare you? Something that you worship? We have need of putting out the leaven from the house. Nehemiah. Well, let's come back to this. There's a name given to the first month of the sacred year. It was Abib. You find it in the Bible. It means a springing forth or a budding. Literally, the green shoots coming forth. The ears of corn coming forth. It signified the time when the crops in the land of Israel would ripen for the harvest. That bringing forth of fruit. And our Lord, when he came to Jerusalem, it was that time of year. For he was crucified at the Passover. And he came to the fig tree outside Jerusalem. And being hungry, he looked for figs. Well, it wasn't the time for harvesting of figs, but if that fig tree was to bear fruit, there should have been figs there. There was not even a little one, not even a little green fig. Nothing but leaves. And our Lord cursed that tree. And the following day the disciples came and there it was shriveled up, dried up from its roots. And that new year, it signifies in that sense the springing forth, the budding forth. Is there any bearing of fruit in your life, in your home? Blessed be God if there is. This is indeed what our Lord Jesus Christ delights in. Our Lord delights in to come to his garden and to find the fruits there. Fruits of obedience, walking in his way. Evidence that we have been with Jesus, we have hearkened to his word, that we are walking in his commandments, to his honour and glory. There's also another name for that month. It is the month Nisan. We find that in the book of Nehemiah. Indeed, that was the month in which Nehemiah came before the king. And he gained his desire to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall when Jerusalem was in, the wall was in ruins. And our Lord, he came, as we have alluded to, he came mounted up to Jerusalem. He was crucified at the Passover, which was the middle of the month Abib. Or Nisan, but at the beginning of the year he would have been mounting up to Jerusalem from Jericho. And there he found, he passed by the blind man Bartimaeus, who cried out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." What a new year that was for that man. Started it blind, last year was blind, but he started that new year seeing. The Lord had passed by. He cried out, "Have mercy upon me," and the Lord Jesus had mercy upon him. Is that not an encouragement unto us? He had to leave behind whatever he had and follow Jesus, giving honour and glory to God. And our Lord went up at that time to lay down his life, a sacrifice for sin. To fulfil the type and the symbol, the figure of the Passover. But I mentioned that the Jews also had a second New Year, which is in the seventh month, which was the start of their civil year. Every 7 years there was the year of release. Every 50th year there was a jubilee, the sounding of the trumpet. The proclaiming of release to those who are in bondage. Proclaiming of freedom. And that commenced at the Day of Atonement, the seventh month. Began with the blowing of trumpets. And then in that month was the Day of Atonement, which again pointed to our Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood, that one day in the year in which the high priest went into the holiest of all to sprinkle the blood before the mercy seat, to go within the veil, and how all these types were fulfilled in Christ. For the veil of the temple was rent in twain when our Lord laid down his life. Then may we consider these things before God. And may our consideration not just be a theoretical one, but a practical one. Of truly desiring to be brought out of Egypt, truly desiring to be brought to the promised land. The children of Israel didn't remain in Egypt. They didn't remain in that house where the Passover was first observed. They were brought out of it. They were led by the good hand of the God of Israel. And all those that put their trust in him shall be brought to that place where the Lord said, "Behold, I make all things new." May we then be given that holy resolve of the Spirit that we may follow Christ, giving honour and glory to him. Amen.
God willing, Dr. Sadler will address the Sunday school this afternoon. Mr. Timothy Rosier will preach on Wednesday evening. And next Lord's Day, we expect Mr. Richard Field, who hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. And our friends at Oakington hope to hold their prayer meeting at 10:30 on New Year's Day. Let us close with hymn 447, omitting verse 3. Pity a helpless sinner, Lord, who would believe thy gracious word, but own my heart with shame and grief, a sink of sin and unbelief. Hymn 447, omitting verse 3.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.